We want to turn today to Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 14 today in Proverbs 14. So we want to take a look and good. Praise the Lord. Now here in verse 8, this is Proverbs 14, starting at verse 8 today. Verse 8, it says this, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." And of course, the foolish person will deceive themselves and deceive others around them. And we don't want to be in that boat. But the wisdom of the prudent is to understand or to discern. That's another translation. Now, discerning of spirits is a gift of the Spirit that's mentioned in the New Testament. And God, being so very close to us and wanting us to discern or understand the things that are going on in our lives, actually can touch us with that gift of the Spirit as we look to the Spirit for His direction. It's so neat that the Lord was a good friend with Father Abraham, and also with Moses. He's was a friend and close to Moses. And in the New Testament, the Bible actually teaches, Jesus said that we that accept Him as Savior and Lord, He's our friend. It says, "I've no longer called you servants, but friends. For a servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. But whatever God gives to me," says Jesus, "I will give to you and share with you." And so beautiful, the understanding, the discernment that can be there for the believer. Now in verse 9, it says this, "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor." Now, fools will sometimes just say, you know, I don't sin, and believe in their hearts that we shouldn't talk about sin, or as one commentator said about this verse, be wanting to make up for sin in their lives somehow. They just are on that route that of destruction to go ahead and be sinners. But it says that among the righteous there is favor, and that favor comes through confession. I fess up to the Lord, and I tell Him I'm a sinner and I need His help, and I know He's the Savior. And so we come and confess our sins, and He is faithful, and He is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And therefore we have favor with God, favor with the Lord, as we are cleansed of that unrighteousness. And so praise the Lord that it is in the recognition of sin is the first step, first thing that Jesus said when He came to the earth, and His first sermon was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner. As the people came to be baptized, they came being baptized, as the Bible says, confessing their sin, first step. And then the Lord comes and makes Himself known, and we become believers because of the grace of God in Christ, for the blood that was shed on the cross to wash away all sin. Praise the Lord. Yes. And then verse 10, "The heart knows his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy." This verse is one of those verses in the Bible that lets us know that our relationship with God is very, very personal. It's so personal that no one else can know your troubles and your woes like you. It says here again, let's read it slowly, "The heart knows his own bitterness." It is actually something that can't be experienced by another person, what you're going through. Now, it's so neat that God fills other Christians to come and listen and to empathize with us. But, you know, that bitterness or whatever we're facing in our hearts and minds is a very personal thing. We're all different, just like snowflakes. And only you know the hardness of what you're facing, and God. And what does this do? It lends itself to make that personal relationship even more personal. I remember one time when Sherry and I first were walking in the things of the Lord, I went into the bedroom and Sherry was laying on her face on the floor and she was just crying out to God. And I, you know, my first reaction as a husband was to go and, you know, kind of intermeddle there. But the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, you just need to let her do this. And so I closed the door very slowly and backed out. And she was doing business with God and her Savior. And that's the way it is for each one of us. And so nobody knows my troubles. Nobody knows my woes like Jesus. I can try to put them into words, but you can't just really do that. It's just something that is between you and the Lord in a very deep way. And then the second part says, a stranger does not intermeddle with that person's joy. There isn't anyone that can know the joy you can know with the Lord. It's a very personal thing. In fact, when we get to heaven, the Bible says that God's going to give us new names that no one knows except the one that receives it. And so it's a very, very personal thing. And so we talk about that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to pray for that, to say, Lord, I want to be upfront and personal with you. I want you to be my best friend. You know, he's jealous for that relationship. And so then as we're filled with him, then we can help others as he uses us as instruments, as he's looking at the deep inner recesses of each soul in a very personal way. And I believe this is a great verse for that. Now, let's spend a little time on verse 11. It says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle or the dwelling place of the upright shall flourish. Oh, what a blessed, beautiful verse. What a promise. It's one of those 7,600 promises of God in the Bible. It actually, as we are upright in the Lord and seeking to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves, but saying, God, help me now. Jesus, I love you. I accept your forgiveness. Come into my heart. Direct my steps now. And there's actually a verse that says, I will guide you continually. I love that verse. He doesn't say, I will guide you once a week. Yeah, I will guide you sometimes. No, it says, I will guide you continually from the book of Isaiah. And here we see the dwelling place of the upright shall flourish. Now, there is a psalm that goes along with this where the word flourish is used three times in the latter part of this psalm. So I want to show that to you. Let's keep our hand in Proverbs 14 and turn back to Psalms, Psalm 92. Psalm 92, beginning at verse 12. Psalm 92, 12 says, the righteous shall flourish. And there's that word, like the palm tree. Of course, us being Californians, we know what palm trees are like. Beautiful, big, tall, excellent palm trees waving in the wind. So the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Now, this cedar of Lebanon is a very beautiful, powerful, strong, tall tree with very buildable wood, hard wood. The temple was built out of the cedar tree taken from Lebanon. And also David's palace and Solomon's palace were built out of the cedars of Lebanon. They're famous trees. Sherry and I had an opportunity to see one in Princeton, New Jersey, in a park. And it was so big. It was about twice as round as the pulpit, and about, and I'm just guessing, 100 feet high, with beautiful branches and much shade, but this wonderful wood. And so the righteous, here again, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. And so there it is, the second time in these scriptures here, that word flourish. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And there's that word again, that is prosperous and doing well with the Lord and in the Lord and flourishing in this house, in this tabernacle that we join in. This is a kind of a timely scripture we got in Proverbs 14:11, that the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And we see here the house of the Lord's mentioned here, planted in the house of the Lord, as well as our personal dwellings. Now, the thing is that the owner of our building took $10,000 off our rent monthly. He's a Christian, loves the Lord, wanted to do this for us. And he also said that it brings us down to market level, since the, whatever we call this economic slump is, started, the price of buildings went down. So he was okay with it, and we're so thankful. And we meet with him every 6 months to discuss the issue again. And it's coming up July 1st to discuss that issue. And it's so neat because the Lord knows that I, as a pastor, need encouragement about that. And so to get this verse this week, I felt was from the Lord, tabernacle, the building of the Lord, the building of the upright shall flourish. And here we have these promises. And so the Lord used that promise to encourage my heart about the meeting that's coming. So just ask for your prayer about that, and just knowing that God is going to continue to flourish our tabernacle, our dwelling place. And it's just a blessed promise that we have here. Now it goes on to say, and we just read this, that the righteous shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. A wonderful thing that God's showing with this is that the Lord will take care of the believers, and to show himself upright, that we've started off with the Lord, and God's going to finish the work with us. And he is our rock. There's no unrighteousness in him at all. He's not going to go to drastic means to deliver economic situations, but just continue to provide as he will. I think about the poor employees from the city of Costa Mesa. 200 people lost their jobs, and we were reading about how that 25% of the budget in Costa Mesa was for retirement for the people. And so they can't go on that way because the economy's gone down. And so they had to lay off all of these people, and they lost their retirement privileges if they don't, you know, go so far with the job. So very sad. In fact, one guy jumped off a building, just like in 1929 at the Great Depression crash. So when we're dealing with government agencies or employers and so forth, that things can get tough and things can go south real quick. But with the Lord, things never go south. It's so wonderful, you know. He allows us to go through tribulations and trials, but only to build us. And so with the Lord, when he says in his word, you know, the tabernacle or the space of the upright will flourish, he's not lying about that. That's in the Bible. And so we look at that and we want to receive that from the Lord, that he will take care. And now the Apostle Paul says he knows how to be abased and he knows how to abound. But he understands that Jesus Christ, the Lord God, will always supply all of his needs in Christ Jesus, the Bible says there. And so we can rest and rely upon the Word of God. And boy, it's getting to the place where that's the only thing we can rest and rely upon with the state of affairs going on, you know. And so it's so good to think about this. When my mother was getting older, she had for income was her income, or not income tax, Social Security. And wouldn't that be something? Income from income tax. No, Social Security. And so something happened in my heart, you know, because I knew all these things are true. I've been preaching these things for years, you know. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so it came time for my mom to get closer in her latter years, just having Social Security and to live on, and us kids helping as much as we could, but, you know, none of us are rich. So just wondering, and so I began to think, Lord, boy, I'm going to be watching Mom real close to see how you take care of her in her old age. How are you going to do this, Lord? And so to be encouraged, actually, for a selfish reason there, one of them is to see what God's going to do with me, you know, see how Mom does, kind of thing, you know. And I say that with great love in my heart, of course. And it was so beautiful to watch the Lord take care of Mom. So beautiful, and just what he did for her through the years. I remember when she first came to the Lord, Sherry and I were first new in the Lord, and she called me and said, Mark, I just lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. And at that time, she had found an apartment in Palos Verdes Estates for $300 a month. And, you know, that's the best kept secret in the nation, I think. You know, where do you do that? Well, it was a miracle that she actually had that apartment, but she was enjoying that. She was raising two teenagers, my brother and sister, and they'd been through a divorce, my mom. And anyway, she called me on the phone, and at that time also, my grandmother was sick, and so Mom was driving her Cadillac. And so she called me on the phone. She said, Mark, what am I going to do? You know, there's with the situation of the money deal, you know. And you know, the Lord just came upon me at that time to encourage my mom. I said, Mom, you're living in Palos Verdes and you're driving a Cadillac. And it's just kind of funny that you would be worried about things right now. But, you know, I, of course, ministered the Lord, the scriptures from God. And sure enough, the Lord came through. He just took care of her wonderfully. And, you know, the Lord puts us all in different places and different situations. But he does want to really work with us to do his word. And his word says that the upright dwelling, tabernacle, whatever we want to say about it, will flourish. And so your house will flourish, and wherever you are, and even in some situations where we've had homeless people that now have homes and so forth, and I can think in right now Dave Reed and Linda Reed, but Dave was homeless for a while, and how the Lord worked. And as we look to Jesus and ask him the answers to questions that are hard, God can bring us out of the most terrible situations and bring us into a flourishing place, to a broad place, as David says, and really take care of our needs, because that's what he has promised as our Savior, our leader. And he's a great president to have as president in your heart and life. And so something to believe and something to receive. What a blessing and what a wonderful thing God does. So I'd like to pray with you about the church situation and ask you to keep us in mind in your prayers, also about the flourishing house. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our church. And we thank you for John Bone, who has been so gracious to us to decrease the rent these months, Lord. And Father, we just want to pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to cause this house, this tabernacle, to flourish. And thank you for this verse for encouragement. Lord, we just want to continue in you, and we know that our uprightness and our righteousness is in you, and help us to make those good choices, Lord, in all that we do. And so we thank you, Father, and we look to you as a church for your deliverance. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'd like to go back then to chapter 14 of Proverbs and the next two verses here. It says in verse 12, Proverbs 14, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, this verse is so strong for us to know that many times the way that we're thinking or the decisions we're going to make about any given thing could be wrong and really cause us to go south, you know. There is a way that seems right to a man. And because we're sin-bent, and when we're not looking for the Holy Spirit for that direction, but kind of get ahead of the Lord, like Sarah and Abraham did when Sarah brought her handmaiden to make love to her husband so they could have a baby, because it looked to her like she was never going to have a baby. But she should have waited. Abraham should have waited, because Isaac did come. The promised child did come, and she did get pregnant and had a baby, at a very old age, around 90 years old. So it was a miracle of God. Now, the thing is this, this is an encouragement here to seek the Lord for any decision instead of saying, I know what to do, and just run into it. You might get in trouble. And so there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so being very sobered with that, careful to acknowledge the Lord and accept that verse, I will guide you continually in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. It's such a great piece of wisdom there. Well, in verse 13, it says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. I'd like to use here, first of all, and we'll look at different angles on this, the idea of the alcoholic or drug addict, that when they go ahead and do those things, there's laughter involved usually. Sherry and I live right around where teenagers meet to have some parties. And the laughter begins, and you know when it's kind of artificial laughter, you know, but just there's pleasure in sin for a season, and the laughter begins, and it's just kind of almost a scary laughter, like the devil laughs, you know, or whatever, but you know, and you just go, whoa, there they go again. But even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. There is a sorrow underneath, and certain problems that just won't go away no matter how many artificial cover-ups you put on it. It's just there because it's a hurting life. It's a life that needs help and direction. They're outside the will of God and what they're doing. So even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Oh, the heaviness that I imagine was for one of those teenagers a couple of months ago. The ambulance came, sirens on, and that youth had overdosed, you know, and so they had to put the cover up over the face of the youth and put him in the back, and then the ambulance was kind of eerie. It was late at night. The ambulance just going away slow because it's over for them, and to think of the heaviness that's now going to be upon their parents and their households and so forth. And so just wisdom of God here, talking about situations like this, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Now, on kind of in a lighter score, and yet a very true score for all of us, is that, and this came from my son John, because he had this vision of heaven, and I've been sharing this with you for the past few weeks. And he's still thinking that through and blessed with what happened. He saw the Lord. He saw grandma and grandpa in heaven. It wasn't weird or anything. They didn't say anything to him, but just were there and just enjoying the Lord and the joy and the beauty of being, as he put it, so much at home and being lifted from his list of problems. And so anyway, one of the things he drew from that was this, is that there's always kind of a cloud hovering over your head in your list. And that cloud is the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. And it's so neat that the Lord says later in that psalm, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so that shadow of death is completely dispelled when we see the Lord, and when we get to see him face to face, especially. Shadow, whatever it is, and kind of bugs you and is kind of following you around through life and just there. He said, Dad, it was gone. It was all worries, all doubts, all fears were just gone. And it was so good to just laugh with Jesus and just lifted him so much. And so the Lord will remove that. Now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and we shall know even as we are known. And so that'll all be lifted and taken away when you're there with the Lord. Now, important deal with this. And it makes total sense, logically. If, when we're in the presence of God in heaven, that shadow of death and those fears and whatever that follow us around our whole lives will be so gone, so out of here, that as we spend more time with Jesus, who we'll see face to face in heaven, here on earth, that is going to minister to us to decrease that cloud, to take that fuzzy thing that follows you all the time, that sorrow of heart, and to minister to you and take away the heaviness. And what a blessing to know these things are true. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so the more that we can be close to Jesus as reading his word and fellowshipping in the Lord, talking about the things of God, you see, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so we sing to God and we worship him and we accept his word. So I want to encourage you again, read your scriptures every day. I have come to a place where I cannot go on without that. As I wake up and you're in that place between wake and sleep, and for me every day the list is waiting. And so when I open my eyes, the list is scrolled down by the enemy and begins to accuse, begins to abuse, begins to lie, begins to get you going, we don't have a chance, you know, kind of feelings sometimes when things are going south. And so, I get excited about it now, to be honest with you, because I know, oh yeah, this is just the morning agenda, the morning syllabus. Ever remember getting a syllabus in school? 3 term papers, 2 book reports, and just go, oh, you know. But you got to take it step by step, right? And just do one thing at a time. And so I know where to go. You go to the Bible. Say, Lord, please speak to me today. Speak to my heart today. And then the confidence begins to rise in the heart, because I'm looking at what God has to say about the list. And God's Spirit brings a confidence and a boldness to put one foot over the mattress and to get up and face the day, one foot in front of the other. Sometimes you just got to show up, face the day. And so we show up in the day. And yes, things come back upon us that we have to give back to the Lord every 2 minutes sometimes. But we've had that confident boost, the word of God, to remember, and seeking to meditate on that, remember it all day long, and keep it in our hearts. And with that base, you see, that takes that cloud down. It takes the sorrow that hangs over your head every day down. And we begin to look into the eyes of Jesus and be in the perfect peace that he brings through his word. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And that knowledge is all in here and in our hearts as we look to him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, now I'd like to go ahead and take you back to Proverbs 14, and we have one verse to go here, verse 14. So Proverbs 14:14 says this, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A good man shall be satisfied from himself, or from his deeds," or another translation, "from his ways." And so these things work together in the last part of the verse, and we'll get to that in a minute. But here we read about the backslider. Now, you might not have known that actually the word backslider comes from the Bible. It's actually 17 times in the Old Testament that the word backslider or backslidings, or to be backslidden, are in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 3 wins the prize for mentioning backslider the most. 6 times in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6, verse 8, verse 11, verse 12, verse 14, and verse 22. And then also in the book of Isaiah, we have the word backslider brought forth, and in the book of Hosea. So when you add these all up, and there's others in Jeremiah, you get 17 times. So this is an important word to God, because this means that his kids are away from him for a while. It's kind of like you packed up your child and sent him to New York, and he's there, and you're kind of concerned, you know, is the child going to be safe? There's so many different vain imaginations that you could take in concerning the plane ride, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so this bothers God when his kids are away from him. He wants to go everywhere you go. He wants to be with you every step of the way. He wants to help you make your decisions, and especially the bigger ones, your life decisions, to move you on the path of becoming more like Jesus Christ. And so that is his concern. And so he wants you not to be a backslider. Now, a backslider, what does that mean? Well, the Revised Standard Version says the perverse man. And another translation says the faithless man or woman, because it's generic there, that gets away from the things of God and back into the things that are perverse and faithless in their lives. So it's kind of like sliding in the Lord, sliding along, getting a great ride. And all of a sudden, you are tricked away, sidestepped by the enemy, by your own lust or whatever, and you start backsliding, meaning that you're simply not sliding forward in the Lord anymore, you've gone back. And then God will begin to speak to your heart. And it says that you'll hear a voice behind you from the book of Isaiah saying, this is the way, walk you in it. So come back, don't backslide anymore, turn around from backsliding and come towards Jesus again. Actually, it says here then that the backslider will be filled with his own ways. Another translation, be filled with the fruit of his ways. And so the very thing that I backslide to will destroy me. That's the way it works. The backslider will get filled up with his or her own ways, and those ways will be hurtful. And of course, we don't have to go through a big list about that. We all know these things and understand these things. Is that, the booze will kill you. The drugs will, you know, have you going away in an ambulance, etc., 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 with the things that happen. I remember the story that Pastor Chuck told. It was so sad. A good friend in the church, a lovely family, had a beautiful home and children, and the man decided to go after another woman. And so the woman called Pastor Chuck and said, Pastor Chuck, would you go over and see my husband and try to talk to him about coming back to the family, you know? So Pastor Chuck went, and he, as he walked in the front door of the man's new dwelling place, he just started crying. And that's all he could do. He just wept and wept and wept and wept because of seeing the difference between the place where he was in a beautiful home, lovely children, and not thinking about the grandchildren. What are you going to do with them? What's going to happen when people get married? You got to sit on one side and another, or sit back, and everybody feels weird. And all of that stuff that goes on with that decision. And he just saw in his mind the beauty of what they had. And then he was in a very drab dwelling, a place that was just not up to par, and there with some strange woman. And so Chuck couldn't do it. He tried to say something, but he couldn't. He just cried. Cried and cried and cried and cried. And I think it was the heart of God coming out. And God just gets grieved. His Holy Spirit is grieved when we're backsliding. And so he finally just had to leave. He couldn't even say anything, but he just had to leave. It was so sad and heartbreaking. And so we want to be warned away from these things. And of course, you know, we see these things a lot in our society. God help us. God lead us. There's a great warning along the lines of being filled with your own ways. And it's back in Proverbs chapter 1. And I'd like to read that warning to us before we finish here. Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 29. Proverbs 1, 29 until the end of the chapter. It's talking about those that choose wrong, that want to get off the path. That they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof or correction. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. So there it is again. And actually Proverbs introduced with this idea. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So actually it's not God that's bringing the pain. It's the person that's bringing the pain through not listening to the Creator about how things should go, but making the wrong decisions and now having to eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But verse 33, a very good news verse for us, but whoso hears, listens to me, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And that's the most priceless thing about the Lord's household at his church or with individual homes, to have quiet and the wonderful blessing of God and the things mentioned there. I read it again, the quiet from the fear of evil dwells safely. The tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And of course, that's a very deep spiritual thing. It's a big definition, including taking care of us physically as promised from God, but also the spiritual blessing of the flourishing in the courts of the house of God and in the courts of the homes of the people that love and follow him. There will be this wonderful touch of God. And if you're married to a non-believer, praise God. Praise God, you might save that person. You don't want to leave them. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 7, that you possibly could be used by God to save them. And so you want to stay with them. And that the children are blessed because of you in the household. Your household will flourish, and your children shall be blessed and sanctified, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7, separated unto God and blessed because of you. And if you leave, then you leave your kids alone to all kinds of havoc and injustice and things like that, and bitterness. So stay, hey, and just stay with the Lord. Stay close to God. Be praying to him, asking him for help, and to take on that challenge in the Lord. Now, the last part then of Proverbs 14:14 is about the good man. And this is so important for us as we're seeking Christians. Okay, and so a good man shall be satisfied from himself or from the deeds that he does and the ways that he walks, the choices he makes. There'll be a great satisfaction inside the good man. Now, Matthew chapter 19 tells us that A person came to Jesus and said, "Good master." And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." And of course, Jesus was saying in a roundabout way, "I'm God," because he was very good. He was perfect. And so he was saying, "I'm God. You say I'm good, and none is good but God. So logically speaking, I'm God." And it was a great way to say it. But for you and I, we're not God. And you got buddy God here? Don't bother raising your hand if you believe that one. But we're not God. And so, but we have God within ourselves as we ask him in. We are the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the living God. And so this is where I come back to the King James translation, where it says, "A good man shall be satisfied from himself, from inside himself," because that's where Jesus lives. As we decide not to backslide, as we walk away from the things that aren't of God, and then you see allowing Jesus out, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And so this scripture can hold then to be a good man, to be a good woman. I've got to have Jesus in me. And so a good man shall be satisfied from himself, inside himself, where Jesus lives, to just let him out and just let his life lead me. And then, of course, concerning the deeds and the ways, following a person that's walking with Jesus Christ. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You can judge a tree by its fruit. A good tree will bear good fruit, and a bad tree will bear bad fruit. And so you can judge that tree by its fruit. And so I want the good fruit, the good works, to be flowing out of me. And that's what Jesus produces as I just let him lead my life. Really trust him in every decision that I would have to make. And so a beautiful thing that God has provided for us, and to make us actually what could be called a good man, a good woman, only in him, as I'm in Christ, abiding in him. He's the answer to every question. I remember one Sunday school teacher told me one time that whenever a Sunday school teacher asks a question, the answer is usually Jesus. Because he answers every question. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, we thank you so much for Proverbs. Lord, you really kind of narrow things down for us. You give it to us straight, and we thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the promises and the blessings and the encouragement when you speak to us personally, individually, and corporately, Lord. Father, for the dwelling place, Lord, of the upright shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar in Lebanon. And Father, thank you that we'll still bear fruit in old age. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for what you bring. And so, Lord, we want to obey you and be sober-minded about our choices. God, knowing where these bad choices lead, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to never think that we should go our own way, which leads to destruction. But, Lord, going your way to the flourishing and the abundant living, going through thick and thin, being abased and abounding, but always and only in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you haven't accepted Christ yet as your Savior, we'd like to invite you to the prayer room today to come and receive him and start the journey with the Lord. He is our righteous King. May the Lord bless you today. God continue to lead you and encourage you on every side. In Jesus' name, amen.